Hi, my name is Mary South, and I am a urogynecologist. Taking care of girl problems is the easiest way to describe what I do for a living. More specifically, I treat women with pelvic floor problems like urinary incontinence, pelvic organ prolapse, pelvic pain, and recurrent urinary tract infections, just to name a few. Many women are affected by these conditions, yet few women are comfortable talking about them. Throughout this series of podcasts, I am going to pick specific conditions or topics to discuss. I will describe the symptoms, the workup, and the treatment. Rather than interviewing other experts in the field, you will listen to patients in my medical practice talk about their experiences with pelvic floor issues. You will hear from real women with real girl problems. One of the most common conditions that I treat in my practice is overactive bladder. Overactive bladder is a combination of symptoms, including urinary frequency, urgency, and urinary urge incontinence. I say combination because a woman may have some but not all of the symptoms. One woman may have urinary frequency and feels she has to go to the bathroom all the time but never has incontinence. Another woman may not have to go to the bathroom very often but will develop a sudden strong urge to urinate and not make it to the bathroom in time. I want to start this discussion off hearing from a woman whose overactive bladder symptoms disrupt her life. Can you just tell me a little bit about your urgency symptoms and what happens to you?
Well, it's like my brain doesn't even register that I need to urinate. And then all of a sudden, it's like an urgent matter that, you know, and even, I mean, like I said, even getting up first thing in the morning, from the bed to the toilet is maybe 20 steps, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I start dripping before I get there. Sometimes as soon as I enter the bathroom door, I'm dripping a trail till I get to the toilet.
Yeah.
And also when I'm sitting at my desk and I'm working and I'm concentrating on my work and everything else, I'll think, oh, I think I need to go to the bathroom. But as soon as I stand up from that chair, it's just like,
just you
know,
hits
it's
you.
Starting to leak, and it's like I have to try to walk with my legs shuffling, you know, keep them together to get to the restroom that's about 15, 20 steps away.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
And it's changing the underwear 5 to 6 times a day. It's, mm-hmm. you know, the embarrassment of that and mm-hmm. the stigma that comes with, you know, in the self-confidence.
Yeah, that it sort of robs you of your self-confidence.
It does.
Yeah. Overactive bladder symptoms tend to increase in frequency amongst women as they get older. Women of all ages can have overactive bladder. In this episode, we will further explore the symptoms of overactive bladder, the diagnosis, and the treatment options. I will often ask my patients when they report urinary symptoms if they feel like they gotta go, but can't get there in time. This symptom resonates with many of my patients. Hear this woman describe her symptoms.
What would you say is the number one thing that bothers you while you're seeking treatment?
The urgency. And I'm a courier, and I can't be out in the country and think I'm going to make it to the bathroom. At night, late at night, nothing's open. And the urgency is not as strong as it used to be before you did the bladder sling, but it's still there. And sometimes if I have to wait, it can get as bad as before.
Okay, so what will happen?
I won't make it. I won't make it to the bathroom.
Yeah.
If I have to wait 10 or 15 minutes, it's pretty severe.
Okay.
I'll be peeing in a cornfield.
Okay.
The symptom of starting to gush urine just as one stands to get up to go to the bathroom is a common complaint.
Tell me a little bit about what you were saying about sitting in your chair. What happens then?
Oh, okay. Sit in my chair, and when I get the urge, if I sit there for a while, it's okay. But if I get up, it just gushes.
Gushes out.
Yeah. Gushes up. Even if moving like from side to side a little bit, it just gushes.
You just can't control it.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No.
As you can imagine, women with this condition worry about finding themselves in embarrassing situations. This woman has been fortunate enough not to have any accidents outside her home, but it does weigh on her mind.
I just want to know a little bit about your urge incontinence, the symptoms that you feel when you have an episode where you leak urine.
It's urgent. I mean, you have to get to the bathroom right then, and if you make it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. You know, and it's dribbling down your leg.
Yeah.
Very embarrassing, you know, and I don't want to be out and that happen. I've done it at home, but never, luckily, out.
This woman is not quite as fortunate.
Tell me what bothers you the most.
Wearing these undergarments, wearing the Depends, feeling like I'm old. I am old, but feeling like I'm old.
You're not that old.
It's just so inconvenient and just... when I go someplace, I have to stake out the bathroom. And if I have to go, I have to go right then. If I hold it or try to pass it, you know, then it's too late because I've already gone in my Depends.
Yeah.
Certainly, an overactive bladder can also interfere with sleep. Some women mention they are up in the middle of the night washing their sheets when they have an accident in bed. I'm always concerned about my older patients who have to get up frequently at night because I worry about them having falls or simply not getting enough rest. Hear this woman describe her nighttime symptoms.
So tell me what bothers you the most about your urge urinary incontinence.
Waking up 4 or 5 times a night, and the minute there's no stopping it. I mean, you can't even make it to the bathroom. I have to wear the poise pads, the big heavy-duty ones.
Yeah.
Because there's no stopping it.
And this woman.
Sometimes I can't make it to the bathroom in time. And if I have to go, I have to go right now. And occasionally I've had accidents at night. I can't make it to the bathroom in time if I wake up, but sometimes I don't wake up and I have accidents at night.
The exact reason why overactive bladder occurs is unknown, but it likely results from a combination of things that may be different in different people. Causes can include decreasing estrogen levels that affect the urinary tract, someone's own genetics, and certain behaviors such as drinking caffeinated beverages. I see a lot of women with multiple sclerosis who have bladder symptoms related to this neurologic disease. I tell my patients that it is not common to present with bladder symptoms as the initial sign of MS, but 95% of MS patients will eventually develop some bladder symptoms. Hear this woman with MS describe her symptoms.
Tell me how MS has affected your bladder.
I really never had problems with my bladder before. For a lot of years, it just functioned normally. But as I've gotten older, I'm unable to kegel, if you understand what I mean, and hold the urine. So that's when I came to you and asked if you could help me with that, because it just runs.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
When a patient comes to my office with bladder symptoms, I do a careful history and physical exam. During the first visit, I will run an in-office urinalysis to look for infection or blood in the urine. I will often place a tiny catheter in a patient's urethra to measure how much urine she has left in her bladder after voiding. This information helps me determine if her overactive bladder is just a sign of voiding dysfunction, where she can't empty her bladder well and voids frequently for that reason. Obtaining a catheter sample also helps collect a pure specimen to be sent to the lab to look for infection. Chronic or acute bladder infections can undoubtedly cause or worsen underlying overactive bladder symptoms. The next step in the evaluation is to schedule bladder testing in our office. This testing is called urodynamics and usually takes about an hour. Our staff places a tiny tube in a patient's bladder to measure the bladder pressure with filling and emptying during the testing. We look for bladder spasms and evidence of urinary incontinence with urge or with cough or bearing down. At the time of urodynamics, we often look inside the patient's bladder with a tiny camera. Sometimes we find bladder stones or growths in the bladder that could be causing the symptoms. We may never find the exact cause of a woman's overactive bladder, and sometimes we are just left merely treating the symptoms. Some women with overactive bladder may be able to control their symptoms with conservative measures. One way to manage symptoms is by strengthening their pelvic floor muscles with exercises, either on their own or with a trained pelvic floor physical therapist. When a woman feels an urge, if she can squeeze and hold her pelvic floor muscles for about 10 seconds, that sends a signal to the spinal cord, which sends a signal to the bladder to relax. 10 seconds of a pelvic floor contraction can usually buy you about 10 minutes to find a bathroom before the next urge hits. Another conservative measure is behavioral modification, like avoiding caffeinated beverages or other food or drink items that might irritate the bladder. Caffeine is a very common bladder irritant. Modifying or eliminating caffeine from your diet can significantly improve bladder symptoms. Water and herbal, naturally decaffeinated teas are the kindest beverages when it comes to the bladder. Finally, bladder training techniques are available to help space out the interval between voids for those women with frequency. I often discuss these different techniques with women to find out what will work best for them. If conservative measures don't improve symptoms, the next step would be to add an oral medication. There are two classes of medications, the most common being anticholinergics. This class includes multiple medications, some of which are offered in a generic form. The medicines can have side effects like dry eyes, dry mouth, and constipation, but not everyone will have those side effects. Here is a woman who has had success with a drug called oxybutynin.
Tell me a little bit about your symptoms before you were on the medication.
So my symptoms were basically I was rushing to the bathroom all the time. I used to be able to hold it, and then I thought, I can still hold it, and no way. Could not hold it. It was just that urgency. I had to go all the time, and I just... You had to keep going to the bathroom.
And you didn't. And you had accidents sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I carried around an extra pair of underwear as well as panty liners because I sometimes had to run to the bathroom and change my underwear.
Okay. And then tell me, after you started the medication for the overactive bladder, what did you notice?
Oh, I noticed like I didn't have to go. I could hold it again or I just went normal. Like if I drank a bunch of water or some coffee, I just went to the bathroom like I normally would any other day. So yeah, the medicine really helped.
And are you having any side effects from the medication?
No side effects. Nothing at all.
Okay. And you're on oxybutynin?
Oxybutynin.
Yeah, oxybutynin.
Whatever
yeah.
it's called.
The
pee pill.
The pee pill.
The pee pill.
Good.
This woman did well with a different medication called Vesicare.
Can you just tell me about your experience with Vesicare? How it's helped your bladder?
It has allowed me to curtail any extra leakage.
Mm-hmm.
So I do use a pad just in case, but quite often they are dry for the day. So.
And are you having any side effects from the medication like dry eyes, dry mouth, or constipation?
I am not.
Okay, good.
I'm not.
Yeah. No. Some people struggle with side effects, but it sounds like you have avoided those.
I have, yes.
All right, yeah. Good.
One of the problems with medications is that they might work initially, but over time their efficacy wears off. This woman describes that phenomenon.
You came to us for overactive bladder and urge incontinence, and we started you on medication. I kind of want you to tell me what was happening before you started the medication. What happened when you started the medication and where you are now?
Well, I was not being able to get out of bed in time to get to the bathroom. And the medicine helped for a while. And now it's back to not quite as bad as it was before, but it's heading in that direction. Plus, I have urinary tract infections. So That didn't help either.
Kind of complicated things.
Yeah.
Patients will choose to stop their medications for a multitude of reasons. Some can't afford the drug, some can't tolerate the side effects, and others don't want to take oral medications or don't want to add one more pill to an already long list of drugs. Finally, the medication may not control their symptoms as much as they would like or even at all. The majority of patients, somewhere between 78 and 95%, stop taking their medications for one reason or another by 1 year. You might wonder why, given this information, would we even try the medicines at all? There are two reasons. One, they do work for some people. And two, most patients' insurance companies will not pay for advanced therapies unless the insured has tried at least one and sometimes up to three different medications. What are the advanced therapies? In my practice, we offer three different treatment options, including Botox injections into the bladder, a bladder pacemaker called InterStim, and lastly, a weekly nerve stimulator treatment called percutaneous tibial nerve stimulation. I will do an in-depth podcast on both Botox and InterStim, but I will briefly describe them now. Most people have heard of Botox used for cosmetic purposes, but Botox has many medicinal purposes. Botox works by creating a neuromuscular blocking effect, and it helps calm the bladder wall. We can administer Botox in the office in a procedure that only takes a few minutes. Botox is highly effective, but it does not last forever and usually wears off in 6 to 9 months, requiring repeat injections about 1 to 2 times per year. Many of my patients are very happy with Botox as a treatment option. Hear this patient describe her experience with Botox.
Can you tell me just a little bit about your symptoms prior to having the Botox?
So before having the Botox, it would hit very hard all of a sudden, feel like I need to go to the bathroom right now, right then, or else it wouldn't let me hold it. It would just come out by itself and just release on its own, and it was awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how old are you?
25.
Mm-hmm. And after the Botox, How did it work for you?
It helped a lot. I could still had some urgency, but I was not leaking as much at all, and sometimes none at all, and you know, until the Botox wore off, until I noticed it coming back.
Mm-hmm. And what percent improvement do you feel like the Botox helped you?
I would say, I mean, about 80%, 85%.
Okay.
It helped.
Great.
The next advanced therapy is called InterStim, which is a brand name for the bladder pacemaker device. The medical term for this procedure is called sacral neuromodulation. It is very minimally invasive, and despite the long and confusing sounding name, is a straightforward procedure. Sacral neuromodulation works by interfering with any abnormal brain and bladder communications, also providing a calming effect to the bladder. Interestingly, sacral neuromodulation can also be used for voiding dysfunction when a patient can't empty their bladder well, and fecal incontinence when a patient has trouble controlling their bowel movements. It does require a trip to the operating room to have it placed, but it is a safe outpatient procedure associated with little discomfort, performed under twilight sedation, and is very useful for treating overactive bladder. I'm not going to go into much detail on percutaneous tibial nerve stimulation. Although we do provide this treatment option to some patients in our office, it is not the most convenient choice as it requires weekly 30-minute treatments for about 12 weeks and then monthly touch-up treatments. A small acupuncture needle is placed in the patient's ankle and an electrical stimulus is delivered to the tibial nerve using a TENS-like unit. The theory is that this functions similarly to sacral neuromodulation. Again, I will detail Botox and sacral neuromodulation using the InterStim device in future podcasts. I hope this podcast provided helpful information. My goal with these podcasts is to educate and help women with their expectations when seeing their doctor with these pelvic health issues. I also want my patients and women in general to know that they are not alone. So many women tell me the same thing over and over again. Stay tuned for more podcasts on other pelvic floor health topics soon. If you have more questions, please feel free to reach out to me or your local urogynecologist to find the answers you need. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook. We are here to help with your girl problems.